And I just want to say to you, don't be discouraged about the seed you've sown. Your harvest is on the way. Our harvest is on the way. Jesus is Lord of that harvest. And you know what? We're going to, Brother Francis is going to be traveling here in the next 2 or 3 weeks in a row. I know God wants him to be part of this congregation. I know this congregation is to be connected with him. And as God blesses us, we'll pray about your investment there in Africa as well. But in the meantime, we can be connected to you in prayer. And keep in touch with us and keep us abreast of what you're doing so we'll know how to pray. But I believe God spoke tonight. And I want to say this also about tongues and interpretation. When I come in here, I usually in the afternoon on a Wednesday and Saturdays, especially when I'm preparing for Sunday. But on an afternoon on a Wednesday like today, I spend the greater part of the afternoon praying in tongues and reading scripture and asking God what to share. And when we start worshiping and then either myself or somebody else gives an utterance in tongues, when I give an interpretation, I have no idea what I'm about to say. I don't have any pre-thought ideas. I just open my mouth in faith and trust God. What's going to come out is going to be anointed. So I'm listening to it just like you are. I don't know what I say until after I say it. I'm listening to it. As the words were coming out of my mouth tonight, it really, my heart began to just, I don't know the right term to use, but not grieved, but my heart was moved with compassion that we obey God in that mandate, he said, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, to pray for Israel. I don't know what's going on in the Middle East, but God knows ahead of time everything. I've heard little bits and pieces along the way that Iran is just about positioned to make a nuclear attack on Israel. And Israel has a decision to make, a preemptive strike of knocking out the nuclear reactors in Iran. I don't know if that's going to happen, but God knows what's going to happen. And whatever happens, the wrath of the Palestinians and the Arab Muslim nations over there right now is going to be turned on Israel because they hate them. They don't like them. This is an age-old spiritual battle. And as the church, a mandate that we have is to pray for the nation of Israel. Amen. They're still God's chosen people as well as we are. The church has not replaced Israel. They're two separate entities, but we're serving the same God with the same Messiah and the same goal that God wants us all to be saved. Amen? So I just say, however God leads you, remember each day to just pray for Israel. Pray in the Spirit. Ask the Lord's will to be done. Amen? Anybody have something quick they want to share before I go ahead and get into this? Because I'm just going to share for a few minutes. Are we ready up there to tape? It's taping now? All right. Praise the Lord. Is it live or is it Memorex? Romans chapter 8. I'm going to share on the subject of praying God's will. Praying God's will. Father in heaven, I just ask that you would just, as I open my mouth wide, you fill it with the oracle of God. Anoint me anew to feed your people. I'm not here to entertain. I'm not here to tickle anybody's ears. I'm just here to deliver your word, and I make myself available for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I've asked you to turn to Romans chapter 8, and I'm just going to read a few verses beginning with verse 26. But before I read, I just want to quote a couple things that Paul said further on in this letter to the church at Rome. In chapter 12, he said to every Christian at that time, and it applies to you and I right now. He said, I beseech you, and this is King James Version, I beseech you, brethren, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Every Christian should understand that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. When you got born again, the Holy Spirit came inside of you, transformed you, justified you, sanctified you, and is in the process of glorifying you. Amen? Jesus will come back and claim your body very shortly. In the meantime, we need to occupy until he comes. Amen? But he says while we're on this earth, one of the things he wants us to do is continually present our bodies to him, our temples to him, as a living sacrifice. God doesn't need a dead sacrifice. He needs a living sacrifice. He needs people that are warm, that are alive, that are passionate and compassionate, that want to take his good news to all of the world. And I believe that we're living in a time that God will pass over 1 million people to get to one person that will express faith in his promises. I believe this. I came from a little tiny town in Appalachia, West Virginia, with a background, nothing to brag about or anything like that. But I know that God has an incredible destiny for my life. I know that he's going to allow me to touch nations of the world with his word. And I recognize that in other people. And Francis comes from a humble background, from African nation, but God put it in his heart to go back there and help those people. And you know, as long as he and I and anybody else that knows the call of God on our life will keep our eyes on Jesus and keep our eyes off of ourselves and not worry about things, nothing is impossible for us who believe. And that promise is good for every one of us in every area of our lives. Mark 9:23, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him who believe. And so much time is spent, actually wasted on little things when God wants us to believe for big things, great things, awesome things, mighty things, because he's a great, mighty, awesome God. And so he says, what I want you to do is bring your body to me as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable, it's only reasonable service, and don't be conformed to this world. I believe that the average Christian spends more time watching television, getting on the internet, playing secular music, and it's not that these things are so evil and horrible and wicked, but what they do is they steal and rob your precious time with the Lord. And God wants you to spend time with him to develop a relationship with him. So many Christians complain. As a pastor, I get calls daily from people wanting prayer, wanting counsel, wanting this and wanting that. And I think, you know what? If you would just spend a little bit of time in the Word, I mean, I know that people say, well, that's your calling. That's your occupation. You're supposed to do that. If I wasn't a pastor, I'd still be doing it. Because that's where my strength comes from. That's where my hope comes from. That's where faith comes from. That's where compassion and love and anointing comes from, is from the Word of God. And most of the questions that I get and the prayer requests I get show me the depth of a person's spiritual life and their depth in the knowledge of the Word of God. Because if they knew what the Word of God said, they wouldn't be asking for prayer. They'd be handling it themselves. They'd be taking authority themselves. They'd be praying the prayer of faith themselves. They'd be casting out demons themselves. Because that is for every believer. But what happens is we allow ourselves to be conformed to this world. What does that mean? It means instead of us influencing the world with the gospel, the world is influencing us with the spirit of Antichrist. And that's just not acceptable. Now, God loves his children, and he's just saying to you, it's time to get on track with the program that he has for you. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God. It's God's mercy that he allows us to come into his presence by the blood of Jesus. I beseech you by the mercies of God that you, it's up to you. I can't do it for you. I can't push you there. I can't pull you there. I can only influence you with his word. By the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And that comes by the blood of Christ. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We just need to change the way we see the world and the way we think and the way we speak. In order that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How many of you would like to know that every time you say a prayer, your prayer is in line with God's perfect will for your life? Just tell me, how many of you, raise your hand if you would like to be able to do that. If you'd like to know that every time you pray, your prayer would be in line with God's will. Well, I'm going to show you in just about 3 minutes how that can happen. I'm not going to show you my opinion. I'm just going to show you what the Bible says. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 26. And it says this. I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. It says, in the same way, the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, I know most of you should know that most of the time in Scripture, the translators have done a good job in determining when the word Spirit is Holy Spirit. It's a capital S, and here it is. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know how to pray as we should. Now, I don't know about you, but I can readily say, amen, there are times when I just don't know how to pray as I ought to. Does anybody here relate to that in your prayer life? There are times when something comes up, maybe in your family, maybe in relationships with somebody. Maybe it has to do with your health, your finances, something like that. But there's a challenge, and you say, well, I'm going to pray, but I don't know what to do. I don't know what your will is in this matter. And so we just kind of pass it off by saying, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done, because that's all we know what to say. And we kind of leave it at that. But yet God is going to show us here that there's a deeper way of coming into His presence and receiving His will in our life by the Spirit. In the same way, the Spirit. Look at somebody and say, the Spirit. The Spirit also. See, the Spirit does a lot of things, but also means included in His job description is He helps our weaknesses. That word weaknesses in the Greek could be translated as inability. I'm not able, but God is able. Amen? In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He, that's a capital H, He, talking about God, who searches the hearts, knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Now, you just raised your hand and said, yes, I wish I knew how to pray in line with God's will. And right here, He shows you exactly how to do that, and it's by praying in the Spirit. It's by praying in other tongues. When you pray in other tongues, you are always praying God's will. You don't know what God's will is. You don't know how to pray God's will, but the Holy Spirit does. And He is willing to help you in your inability and in your weakness to pray according to the will of God. I think it's incredible that God is willing to help us in our prayer life. He doesn't leave us out there stranded and reciting some prayer out of a book that somebody wrote 200 years ago. How many of you know? Thank God for those people that did that, but it might not be pertinent to your situation at this given moment. Amen? I love prayer books, and there's beautiful prayers in there, but when I want to talk to God, I don't want to use somebody else's words. I want to use my own. And there are times when I don't know what to say, and I depend on the Holy Spirit to make my prayer acceptable to the Father. And that's one of the things that the Holy Spirit does for us. Now, so many times this verse is taken out of context and just thrown out there to try to give somebody who's going through a difficult time a little bit of hope. Oh, Brother Adam, I know it's a tough time, but you know what? God works all things together for good to those that love Him and are called according to His purpose. Now, let's be comforted with that, you know? And we go, well, that's nice, I know. That's sweet. I mean, but you know, if you're going through a very difficult situation, and it might be a real traumatic situation, and I'm not going to try to name off any, you can think of your own, but there are certain situations that you go through and you're thinking, how in the world could this ever work together for good? How in the world could an untimely death or the loss of a loved one or a loss of a relationship or a loss of a job or whatever, how could any of this ever come out for my good? You see, we lift things out of context. Somebody once said that if you take a verse, a text, T-E-X-T, out of its context, if you take the text out of the context, what are you left with? Con, C-O-N. and the devil's going to con you. You need to leave the word, the text, in the context. And in the context here, it's talking about the Holy Spirit helping us with our prayer life. When I don't know how to pray as I ought to, I allow the Holy Spirit to make intercession for me and through me. And when I do that, how many of you, I'll pick on somebody tonight. I'll call on Susie because she's intelligent. The word "and" in the English language is a what? Conjunction. Good. You got an A tonight, Susie. The word "and" is a conjunction. Well, what does a conjunction? But got you thinking, right, George? I'm glad he didn't call on me. Okay, what does somebody voluntarily tell me? What does a conjunction do? What is the purpose of a conjunction? That word "and," what does it do? It joins two sentences together. That means the first sentence and the second sentence need to come together in order for them both to make sense. Meaning separately, they're not fulfilling the train of thought that was originally intended. So a conjunction, "and," means it's added on in order to fulfill something needs to be added on. And verse 28 says, I'm just to go back and take the time to do this, I'm going to read verse 26 and 27 again. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. In its context, he's saying it's when we allow the Holy Spirit to make intercession for us in our prayer life that we are praying in line with God's perfect will, and then we know that God will work everything together for good. We just can't assume and pull that text out of its context and say, oh, brother, no matter what happens, God works everything together for good. No, not necessarily. If you're not praying in line with His will. Well, how do I know what His will is? Well, you may not know what His will is, but the Holy Spirit knows what His will is. And when you submit yourself to God, when you offer your body as a living sacrifice, and you worship Him and you praise Him, He says, don't be any longer conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you will prove what is God's good, acceptable, and perfect will. How's that done? By giving yourself over to the Lord in prayer, by worshiping Him in spirit and in truth, by allowing the Holy Spirit to make intercession through you and for you according to the will of God, and then at that time, God will take your intercession, present it to the Father. The Father will answer your prayer and cause even the most difficult situations in your life to dovetail together to come out good for you. That's when all things work together for good. Not just randomly everything. I mean, if that's the case, our theology is que sera, sera. Amen? But that's not what the Word of God says. Now, let me complete this a little bit farther. He says in verse 29, for those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom He predestined, He also called. And these whom He called, He also justified. And these whom He justified, He also glorified. Now, if you back up to verse 29, people have a problem with the topic of predestination, but let me make it as simple for you as possible. Peter, I think it's in 2 Peter 3:9, said, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This verse of Scripture says, for those whom He foreknew, He also predestined. Well, who did God foreknow? Everybody. There's nobody out there that God doesn't know. So, if he's not willing for anybody to perish, but for everybody to come to repentance, I mean, that's his will, then he says those whom he foreknew, which includes everybody, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son. There is a predestination for every person on this planet to be conformed to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. The thing of it is, in order to arrive at that predestination, you must cooperate with him. Amen? You must give yourself over to him. You know, people say, well, if God wants to heal me, he'll heal me. Or if God wants me to speak in tongues, he'll make me speak in tongues. Or if God wants me to be saved, he'll just save me. Well, anybody that has any knowledge of the Bible whatsoever would realize God has already done everything he's ever going to do. He's laid it out there and he's presented it and he's offering it to you, but he's not going to cram it down your throat. He's saying, you want to be saved? Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you shall be saved. You want to be healed? He was wounded for your transgressions, bruised for your iniquities, chastised for your peace, and by his stripes you are healed. You want it? Come and get it. You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? You want to speak in other tongues? He says, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? All you need to do is ask and yield to him. It is a gift. Salvation is a gift. Healing is a gift. The Holy Spirit is a gift. Prosperity is a gift. These are all gifts, but we have to receive them. At Christmas, listen, at Christmas time, most of you who are parents, one of the joys of Christmas, especially when you have little kids, is taking that time, a couple weeks or however long it is before Christmas, and wrapping up all these packages, and then, you know, maybe on Christmas Eve, hiding them, putting them under the tree the next morning. Your joy is to sit back and watch them open those packages, tear those packages up, take those presents out. You get your greatest joy seeing them open those packages, amen? Because you prepared those gifts for your children because you love your children and you want to see the satisfaction and the joy on their face when they receive the gift that you worked and earned and provided for them because you love them. Well, listen to me. God has given us gifts of the Spirit. He's offering us everything that pertains to life and godliness through Jesus Christ. What do you think he must feel like if we get up and he's offering us a gift and we go, yeah, I don't think I want that. I don't want that. No, I don't want that. It's insulting and grieving to the Holy Spirit. Listen, if God's offering you something, it's got to be good because it came from God. Anything that comes from God is good. You go, but they don't do that in my church. Well, it's not your church, it's his church. Let him do what he wants to do and you'll be blessed. Let's get rid of religion and let's start working on relationship with Christ through the Word. God has predestined every one of us to be conformed to the image of his Son so that he, Jesus, would be the firstborn among many brethren. You know, Jesus was the first person to come back from the dead and live forever. Now, there were other resurrections in the Bible. Lazarus was raised from the dead, but he died again. There were other people in the Bible that rose from the dead, but they all died again. But Jesus was the first one that rose from the dead and lives forevermore. The first among many brethren. Who are the many brethren? Whosoever will believe on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It's you. Look at somebody, smile and say, it's you. Amen. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Hallelujah. And so Jesus is the firstborn among many brethren, and these whom he predestined, he also called. Did you know you were called? Hello? Hello? You got caller ID. It's me. Hello, I'm calling. He called. These whom he called, he also justified. If God calls you, he justifies you. That means it's just as if I'd never sinned. Because of God's grace, you don't have a problem with sin anymore. You may think you have a problem with sin, but you really don't because Jesus took care of your sin problem if you'd only accept his grace. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. Realize he's in the process of doing that right now. So, if you want to pray in line with God's will, then guess what? All you have to do is yield yourself to the Holy Spirit and pray in the Holy Spirit. And you'll always be praying in line with God's perfect will. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15 says, in the King James Version, this is the confidence we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, we also know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. Amen? So you can. There's certain things that you can pray in your understanding that we know it's God's will, and we'll know He'll answer. We know that He wants everybody to be saved. So if you pray and believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you'll be saved. There's no question about that. Amen? And when it comes to praying for healing, you don't have to say, Lord, if it be your will, heal this person, because we know, according to the Word of God, it's His will to heal everybody who comes to Him. Jesus died for sins and sickness and diseases. When it comes to finances and prosperity and blessing, we know that the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and He adds no sorrow with it. We know Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Philippians 4, 19, my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's God's will. So that's what we need to be confessing. That's what we need to be saying. Jesus said in Mark 11 that, we can have the God kind of faith. Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that the things that he says shall come to pass. He'll have what he says. That's the thing. Most of us have been getting what we're saying. We've just been saying the wrong thing. So what we need to do is start saying what God says. And God says He wants you to no longer be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the Holy Spirit will help you through that process. We're weak. We don't know what to pray, but He prays on our behalf. Now, in conclusion now, got a couple minutes. I'm just going to read Romans chapter 8, verse 26, because I like the flow of this. I'm going to read those same three or four verses in the Message translation and listen how it sounds. The Message, Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Meanwhile, the moment we get tired in the waiting, God's Spirit is right alongside helping us along. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does our praying in and for us, making prayer out of our wordless sighs, our aching groans. He knows us far better than we know ourselves, knows our pregnant condition, and keeps us present before God. You know, I like that. I mark that in my Bible, our pregnant condition. Look at somebody and smile and say, I'm pregnant. Oh, that's scary. Some of you said, I'm not sure about that. Especially the guys. Yeah, I know some of you ladies go, I'm not confessing that. Mm-mm. No. No, but in its context here, so I don't want to con you with this text, all right? Keeping it in its context, what he's saying is, just like a woman gives birth to a child and brings new life into the world, our spiritual condition is that we should be bringing forth life in the Spirit. We are spiritually pregnant. We're about to birth something in the Spirit. We're about to bring forth life. So he said, he knows far better than we know ourselves, knows our pregnant condition, and keeps us present before God. That's why we can be so sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good. God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him along the same lines as the life of his son. The Son, speaking of Jesus, stands first in the line of humanity he restored. We see the original and intended shape of our lives there in him. After God made that decision of what his children should be like, he followed it up by calling people by name. Adam, where art thou? George, where art thou? Bob, where art thou? Oh, there's Bob. After he called them by name, he set them on a solid basis with himself. And then, after getting them established, he stayed with them to the end, gloriously completing what he had begun. I like that. Philippians 1:6 says, he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Beloved, every one of you listening to me,
that have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have allowed the Lord to start something good in your life. Now, all he wants you to do is just keep surrendering to him, keep submitting to him, offering your body to him, be filled with his Holy Spirit. Let him take your weaknesses and make you strong. The prophet Joel said, let the weak say, I am strong. Amen. And so what we need to start doing is confessing what God says about us. Let's not confess our weaknesses and our inabilities and our inconsistencies and our shortcomings and our failures and our sins, but let's confess we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen? Let's confess greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Let's overcome our adversary, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony. Amen? And remember, you can pray God's will perfectly every time. Just pray in the Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen.